Okay, and we're back with the Dunhollow Mystery episode 12. This will be the last of tonight's episode, so we'll continue. So, knowing what has unfolded here, Madame Krista has made her way to Dr. Greystone's place to investigate more about what could have cause the dog bite, if there's some way to potentially see to some sort of miracle cure or panacea to treat the Baroness. If there's anyone in Dunhollow who could puzzle this out, it's the two of them. So she has gone to entreat with him, and as our viewers can see, Walter had to step away, so this is actually a perfect segue into what happens next. So, everyone, what is the decision?
We're going to the chapel, but we're not going to get married.
Off to Brother David's.
Because I'm already a married man, thank you.
That's right. So, about midday in Dunhollow, just a little bit outside the village, you come to what looks like this area that's very well wooded. You have there's copses of trees here and there, but they've been clear-cut in places where footpaths are around. And there's a small kind of stone monastery, very small. You would guess that maybe 10 to 15 monks live here in total. Likely, the place doesn't even look large enough to hold service. However, one thing you do note as you approach is you can hear this kind of droning all around it. And amid the forest are these large bees' nests. The monks who are attending to it, men and women, of course, naturally, who are attending to the bees, they are apiars, obviously. They tend to the bees, and as you well know, they use the honey to make mead and to sell honeycomb in the town. And in fact, mead is probably the most commonly drank thing, save for river water. But mead is very common. It's fortifying, for one. Two, it's pure and clean. And there's a lot of bees throughout the woods here near Dunhollow. So you're not surprised to find that the monks are working with the nests and some of the artificial nests too. They made out of wooden boxes. And there's hundreds of these boxes. There's bees all over the place. There's all manner of fragrant flowers that grow around here as well, likely to keep the bees continuing to pollinate. And in fact, if you were to take a bird's eye view of Dunhollow, you would probably be able to see the patterns which the bees move, for flowers are still even growing in this part of the season. As you approach, there is a monk who is sweeping away the grass from the stony walkway upon your approach. You can see along the way there's some little stone statues. If you imagine, like you see the stone statues in people's front yards, these are stone statues of the martyr, the steward, and the learner. The monastery is not by any means ostentatious. It is simple, much like these monks. And you were invited into Brother David's company outside, out back from the monastery. He is tending to these jars of honeycomb they're putting inside of it. So he is tending to his daily duty. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother.
It's a pleasure to see all of you again.
Indeed. It's quite a lovely little monastery you have here. Flowers this late in the season? Very nice.
We take great care to take care of the wood, and the wood will reward us back. We have been keepers of this place for quite some time. I do apologize, as he turns to all of you. Things got a bit out of hand last night.
Think nothing of it. I thank you for coming in the first place. It means a lot that someone who seems so well-respected would be
you
able to come.
You seem in better spirits, Mr. Fitzroy.
They can come and talk. He extends his hand.
He'll shake your hand.
Yeah.
His hands are a bit sticky. From honey.
The old brother David.
Indeed. Please. He welcomes you to the back of the monastery outside, and he takes a seat up on a stone bench, or wooden bench, where you can see a thicket of roses that have actually lost their petals, but nonetheless, there's these thickets of roses everywhere throughout here.
Tuck's demeanor gets a little better as we're out of the bright light.
You need something to drink?
Just water for me. It's midday.
I'm afraid you won't find You'll find no water here except for when the rain comes.
Oh, well then, I guess I will take a glass of mead. Thank you very much.
He nods. He will go fetch it himself.
That might be a good idea, actually. Just one.
Little hair, whisper. The, hair of the cur that bit you there, Tuck.
That one's on the nose.
I was going to say, yes, the same thing. Hair of the dog that bit you, but it seems like...
He returns about
fighting words around here.
He returns about 5 minutes later, as if he literally probably went down in the basement to bring up a pitcher himself and returns. He's removed his shoes so he can walk in the grass. Please.
Oh, thank you.
He will pour a cup for anyone who wants mead.
Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
He himself also takes a drink.
Thank you, brother.
Sip, not...
To your health.
Your dear tough.
To my health.
To denial.
So how do you keep calm with all these bees around? Setting me on edge, the droning and...
Well, I find that this is most comforting compared to the going-ons of Dun Hollow. I find this place peaceful. It's a place to reflect.
These are a simple lot, but aren't you afraid of getting stung?
No. No, I've been an apiary for years. I was certainly stung a few times in my youth, but one quickly learns how to, when one's an apiary, to becalm the bees. Dr. Greystone has been a great help with that.
Huh. I would love to see.
Well, you can certainly join me in my work and we can talk.
Oh, indeed. I would like to see. Yeah.
He will finish his entire cup and put it down. He brings with him, you see this satchel that looks like it's sewn, like stitched. And it's completely inflated like a blitz ball. And it connects via this kind of leather tube to what looks like a bellows. You see, as he approaches a box and bees are kind of buzzing all around you, the key is to remove the queen. He begins pulling out these kind of slats where you see honey dripping down it and bees kind of crawling all over. But he wouldn't come near the bees.
I will.
Doc's going to keep his distance at all.
I'll stay several paces away.
I'll come take a closer look. Okay.
The bees buzz about as he goes about his work. Remove the queen, and then apply the gas. He starts to with the bellows, and this kind of smoke, almost like dust, comes out. And it has this smell that the scent of the sound, it smells a little bit like Dr. Greystone's workshop. It is a type of decoction, he says, that Dr. Greystone has made for mandrake, and is not only used to treat the rheumatisms of local folk and mothers when they're in birth, giving childbirth, but also to calm the bees.
Well, come closer now.
Okay.
Go ahead and just
waft it towards your face.
You know, interesting about the bees, yes.
So tell me. I have heard most of your story already, but I must admit I am worried. I know I can confide in you. You are a Winterborn.
Indeed. I am worried as well. But I come at the call, as Master Olmsted said, just to take, assessment of the situation. I had always heard that my aunt was a very sharp-minded person. To hear her fall to such an illness is, very sad, from all the stories my father has ever told me.
It is an unfortunate event, what transpired. For all of her rabble-rousing, Mrs. Linkhouse, her story has some truth to it. The Baroness is not the only one who have been dog-bit.
Oh, really? Same dog, though? Or different dogs?
The same, he says.
And then with this dog put down? It's a rabid animal. Would it not be safe to keep? I'm not a houndsman, I do not know, I ask.
He kind of pauses for a moment. A pregnant pause. We did not put the dog down, but the reasons are purely scientific, I can assure you. He puts the bellows down and turns toward you to give you his full attention.
Scientific?
As I said, a rabid dog would show signs of rabidity.
Yeah, scientific.
Scientific, terrific.
Yeah, signs and terrific.
So explain a bit more then. You were observing the dog? Hopes to find a cure?
The dog is cordoned, but nowhere near here. We have kept it kenneled since the incident.
Indeed, if we know perhaps what Maletta, what illness has befallen her, perhaps they can then find some sort of cure.
Not all illnesses have cures, my lord. Some illnesses are not born from sickness, but from sin.
Yeah, try plucking hair from the dog and giving it to her.
Dr. Greystone has already made his recommendations, but they have proven fruitless.
I'm sorry, brother, but what was that part you said? Some sicknesses are from sin?
Yes. Dr. Greystone and I have a fundamental disagreement about this, but not all sicknesses can be treated, for the sickness is not due to anything save for the weight of the sin that one carries with them. The gravity of what they have done in their life can cause things to happen. It is not uncommon. After all, there are many stories of the steward himself being taken with sickness before he turned toward the light.
In scientific terms, I suppose you could say a man would have a certain moral fiber, and when he transgresses against it, it can cause a discongruence in his disposition.
Yes, the Dr. Greystone calls it the humors, but I'm afraid I believe it is certainly more of a spiritual ailment, for lack of a better term.
If she has sinned against the gods, and they had yet blessed her with such a great long life, would they not simply just take that away?
Who are we to be to judge? We are not.
True.
We are not servants of the custodian. The custodian has no priests. The custodian will take when the time is right. Sometimes it may be the end of a sword. Sometimes it may be the end of sickness. Sometimes it is in childbirth.
So perhaps she still has a role to play.
Why doesn't she have any priests?
She is the goddess of death. One does not worship death. One celebrates life.
Well, then that makes sense, then.
Never thought about that.
Tuck is clearly off his game today.
So, do you believe spiritually we could... This is a line that I've never thought of, and forgive me, because, my brother, this is... My father was never a godly man. We, of course... went to chapel, but it's never something he focused on.
Surely.
But do you believe there's a way to remove the sickness? Like, if she has a spiritual man to help this, or...
He pauses and kind of... He's trying to find the right words. I believe... Mr. Marius, that some illnesses are so grave, particularly ones that have been carried for years and years and years, there is no admonishment, there is no way to move past those transgressions.
So like a soul is scarred, is am I using that term right?
I think it would be an appropriate way to say it. I would not pass judgment on the Baroness. Admittedly, I do not know her well. However, I know of her dealings. And I know of the Winterborn's dealings. And I know of the tragedies, the many tragedies that have plagued the family. Admittedly, my lord, I also know of your difficulties between you and your wife trying to conceive. Know that this is not your fault, but the Winterborns have carried a curse.
Hmm.
Can you enlighten us on the dealings that we know of course, my lord's uncle, and his, we know that situation.
My father and that terrible tragedy.
Misfortune has fallen upon the Winterborns throughout the generations. That is the most I can say.
Hmm.
Why would you go so far as to call it a curse? It seems that someone would have to have cast it upon someone. Someone with malintent.
The gods? Oh, man.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Are we still talking about the dough?
No, we've been
as a matter of speaking, perhaps.
Perhaps so.
If you believe the townsfolk, the hellhound, as they call it, is given to rabidity, I do not think this is true.
It's a dog.
I've got a question that nobody's been able to answer. And maybe you can, but I mean, was it like she gets bit and then a minute or two, a stone's turn or two later, she's possessed or loses her faculties? Or did it take a while?
He shakes his head. I do not traffic with the Winterborns.
But you know our dealings? What dealings we have done that would have caused the ire of the gods? My father has raised me to be very fervent in my beliefs.
Perhaps he is trying to right the many wrongs of the Winterborns.
And such rights I would like to know so that I may... Or wrongs I would like to know so I may right them.
You need only look to Winterborn Estate and search its archives to understand what misfortunes have befallen your family. Surely you know. Surely you know of your connection to the Agrabahrs.
I noticed, or Sir Harrison took notice of their banners inside the gatehouse, but we have not yet had any means to read any sort of histories or to, well, to know more.
Well, as they say in Blood Blitz, on the east side of the river, take a knee.
All right.
In the Second Age, 227 years ago, before the House Rowan was even a dynasty, the Aglador was ruled by a family, a dynasty in its own right, called House Agrabahr. There was a woman, a queen, who had no sons nor daughters.
The Bitch Queen, right?
Indeed, the Bitch Queen, as she is called. She caused so much discontent within the kingdom. Many of us believe that is what triggered the kin strife. Why, for so many years after, even 200 years later, we have bickered and argued. Sometimes with pen, sometimes with iron. But it was then that the lines were drawn within the kingdom. Those to the east were Rovanian. Those to the west were Aridane, blue-blooded and true. She would find her end in a way that is befitting a witch. But Lysandra Agrivar's name lived on through her bastard children.
You mean Prim?
No. I mean your father's father.
Father's father?
Sorry, your father, sorry. Your great-great-great-grandfather.
The one who inherited the barony.
Indeed. Your namesake, Wesley. You are not given, you are not the younger, nor the second, nor the third. And I trust that your father had done so as to not evoke the ire of the curse. But you are not the first Wesley Winterborn. The first Lord Wesley Winterborn, or the Duke, as he was called. He was the right-hand man to the Bitch Queen. He has blood on his hands to such a great amount that sin has carried through in generations.
So the Bitch Queen, out of character, she was the one that caused the kin strife.
Yeah.
And she's, basically...
She's believed to be the catalyst of the collapse of Aglador when it was split into two kingdoms. Okay. So Aglador was once one country, and then there were two. The western kingdom on the western side of the river, Aglador, the eastern side, which was simply called the Girdle, or the Rovan Girdle. And that's where it said the lines were drawn between... within Aglador, between the Rovanians and the Aridane.
Okay.
And why that enmity, to some degree, still lives on today. I think you like the east and the west of the Confederacy and the Northerners, right?
Yeah.
Like in our real world. Like they kind of, the Rovanians and the Aridane kind of still see themselves as two separate people. The kingdom, even though the current king, Cassander Malister, is called the Unifier, the truth of the matter is the Girdle still has its own king, the Bastard King, Ethan right. Priam.
And where is the barony located at? Like on the border?
The barony of Dunhalla?
Yeah.
It's on the northern border. It's right between the kingdoms. It's almost like, if you think about, so to the west is Aglador, to the east is the Girdle. The river that split the Axewater splits the kingdom in two, right, with the Weald, the great forest. And it's at the top of it is Cauldron Lake. And on Cauldron Lake is Old Lork. Above Cauldron Lake, several days, is the barony.
Okay.
It sits far enough away from both kingdoms to be out of easy reach.
Okay. So that's why war never came here.
Exactly. It's an isolation. The barony is isolated within the woods.
Mm-hmm. But also the Bitch Queen also was in... she started the vassal state of the Girdle too. Wasn't that really the true catalyst of the kin strife, was how she basically used the Rovanes as slaves, basically, or a vassal state.
That's right.
To make... Aglador wealthy.
That's right.
Basically, first class citizen, second class citizen.
Yeah, the way to think about this too is that during the Second Age, at that point in time, that's when feudalism or the dark age of Aglador reigned. Now, that's certainly changed over time in some ways, but she was essentially kind of she's the one who is believed, and whether it's true or not is.
Up to history.
It's kind of up to history.
The history.
But they believe that she was the one who had sown malcontent within the kingdom purposefully.
Oh.
But she was eventually burned to the stake. And she was burned to the stake by Haleth Rowan, who became the first king of the Third Age. And that was 227 years ago. Because it's year 227 now, I think. It's 227, so... Yeah, somewhere 220 some odd years ago.
She never married, so that's why her children were bastards.
She never married, but her children were all bastard born. Okay. Yeah,
and that's where Priam comes in.
That's right,
the king of the east.
Yeah,
that's right. The Priams were bastard born, but the Winterborns are
same.
No, I mean, so they were cousins? The right hand man.
Well.
That means you're a cousin of the Bastard King.
We may not know yet the extent of
Primo, man.
That's right.
The Primo is evil.
So, all that aside, all the above board stuff aside. No, it's okay. It's good. It's a good conversation. So, all the above board stuff aside, some sin carries through generations, whether it be the fault of the person or not. Some sins have stained the soul.
Sins of the foe. You truly mean this?
I believe it to be so.
So the sin stays with the blood. It isn't something to do with the manner itself or something of that nature. It just seems unfair to me. Life isn't fair, I know, but it just...
It is our godly duty to do right, to treat all people equally. To treat others how you want to be treated, to be faithful, to be leal, to be loyal, to marry, to have children, to be fruitful and bountiful, to give, to be charitable, to labor, but not for coin, but for the fact that labor itself is a reward in the afterlife?
Well, if it's the sins of the father, I mean, there's been a few fathers in between, right? Like, quite a few.
I can't logic my way out of this, but I don't even know if it's necessarily true. What I can tell you is the histories, and that is most that I know.
So thank you for sharing it.
So what are those banners up there? We went up to the manor, and there were Agravarn banners.
Well, they're old. They're probably from the first, the second age.
True.
I mean,
he nods.
If this Duke Wesley was your great 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 grandfather's true father, even though a bastard can never have a true father, then it would make sense that he would want to tie himself to the Agravarn, right? It's his lineage.
Sure, it's his lineage, but wouldn't he want to distance himself from the Bitch Queen?
I don't know the man's mind. I mean, that was hundreds of years ago.
Perhaps we can ask the gods when we meet them.
There we go.
That does us no good in our current
endeavors.
I hope
that it is many, many, many years before that happens.
I agree.
It'd be like me trying to tie myself to me, Father.
So, can we be candid?
Of course. Tell me what weighs on your mind.
What do you think of this Hugo and
Downing?
Mod.
Linkhouse.
And Miss Linkhouse.
Truly, I believe that they are serving in her best interests. I believe that they have set aside their own lives to see to her ease toward the afterlife. I don't see any ill in them save for the folly of youth in Maud's case.
But Hugo is not a young man.
He is not. When Hugo came, though, the Baroness was still lively and vivacious and full of life, despite her many, many years. She was 87, I want to say.
Goodness.
See, he told us that he had served the house for decades before he returned.
He was her barrister.
Even before he... But this was before he went. He did his legal studies. He said he served the house as a page?
He was a page, yes. What I know of Master Downing, and I will make no judgments, but I suspect the difference in age and knowing the ties between his youth and her family, she very well could have been changing his diapers when he was small. I know for truth that the Winterbornes paid for his education in Chandering.
He said as much as that.
It would make sense that he would pay
but
for you.
One must not make judgments. One finds love, one must take love. Whether it be between men, between women, between older and someone of a man's or woman's age.
So you said she was 7 and 80 winters, and how many years has he been here?
I don't think that's much the point. I think I agree with Mr. David, my brother.
Well, I would like to know. I'd like to know exactly how many years he's been here.
Five or six.
So he's been here 5 or 6. Okay.
Since he's gotten back from Chandri.
So she's about 90. No, like 92, 93.
I do not keep the longevity.
Well,
the longevity catalog of the longevity with the people here in Dunhollow.
Right. So
I should say the Baroness and her family, but here in Dunhollow, yes.
The most important thing, though, that I wanted to know, you told me, is he's been here for 5 or 6 years, and that's all I really needed to know.
Okay.
Because I've heard different.
Well,
we've heard lots of different.
Yeah.
Again, there's many rumors here.
Well,
I think it is a small town, and
it is a small town. But on the same token, the barony is a very long way away.
It is.
It's far longer than I thought.
The Baroness and her family have lived in isolation Truth be told, it could have been longer than 6 years. It could have been less.
Yes. Yeah. No. We're not putting you on the spot, brother. It's just we're really just trying to assess. We have multiple stories, multiple situations. As this dog, let's take this dog as an example.
Yes. He says.
You see this dog as a dog, and I agree with you. How can a dog conceivably have ill will towards something?
Well,
it doesn't have the mind or the faculties to do such.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. The townsfolk concern over the animal is certainly well founded. Brutus, the animal, has had an ill temper since it was but a pup. He was Cavendish's last of the litter.
This is the same Cavendish that does the trade route now.
Yes.
The kennel master.
He was the kennel master, yes. After the Baroness and then Brother Aaron, well, Mr. Cavendish felt it best to leave.
Hmm. Well, I understand that Mr. Downing released many of the servants of the household as the barony apparently has not been doing very well in funding, and plus that manor house is far too large to upkeep without an army itself. So was he given some sort of stipend to start this trade route between
he
here and...
left on his own accord.
Oh.
Self-imposed exile. He felt guilty about what happened. The brother Aaron was... Well, he was very young.
And he perished? Or was he like my aunt? Great aunt. I do not mean to pry if it is a sore subject.
You know when we spoke earlier about having your soul stained? Brother Aaron came to us. He was a known murderer, an old lork. He fled the law. He came and asked for asylum. And he said he would turn away all his old ways. He would put down the knife and seek a life of purity and peace and nonviolence.
Good for him.
But Aaron was a young man. But I could tell... Even when you can carve a tonsure, you can wear the monk's robes, you can try to believe in the covenant, in the Librum, in the laws of the Holy Covenant. But some sins are so great, it would take a lifetime to shed such sin. But Aaron was one of these people. I don't know. I'm a faithful man, but to know that both Brother Aaron and the Baroness have been bitten by the dog, the coincidence is odd to me.
What happened to him?
He was alone. He stops immediately after saying that.
So the dog bit two supposedly cursed individuals. Drawn to them, perhaps?
Dogs are born of an intelligence that has been bred into them over the years. This particular breed, as Cavendish says, brought from the north. Large animals, pig-snouted, stout. This particular breed of dog are known for their intelligence. They are used and bred for war dogs. I think this is also part of the reason why townsfolk have so much fear over this animal. I personally did not feel it was within my right to put it down. Cavendish was unwilling to do it. I did not believe it was right to do. So we have kept it.
Kindled far away in the town.
He kind of stops. Is kindled here.
In the chapel?
He nods.
Part of me thinks that's wise because you keep an eye on it, but part of me also thinks it might be a bit dangerous if it should ever get loose.
There. Both of those, in fact. The dog is ill-tempered. Very ill-tempered. But it is no reason to put the dog down. It has not snatched children from their cradles. It has not ravaged the townfolk. It had merely bit the Baroness and Brother Aaron.
I have heard tale tell of old men of the woods, hermits, that speak with beasts. Have you ever come across any of these sorts of folk that could perhaps... I know this sounds like strange.
Yeah, like Otrig.
He kind of... He wrinkles his nose for him and says, "You've met Otrig?"
A few days out, we at night came across this man, came across our fire. Stark naked, besides his coat of furs. Well, I didn't know quite how well to take it, so to keep a better eye on the man, I decided to invite him to my fire and, well, treat him to some water. Rude. What?
He was rude.
Well, I mean, he was very odd, indeed, but, I don't know. He went his separate way the next day, and, well, we have not seen or heard tale of him since.
What? Dunmen are strange, but I wouldn't call them rude.
Yeah, he wasn't rude. I meant crude.
Crude. Okay, yeah.
I was rude.
I admit I was too. Rude.
A man who called himself Otrig took asylum here just a few nights ago.
Truly.
He said he had come here borne upon a wooden horse, and that there was something here for him. He didn't know what it was, but that his dreams brought him here. We gave him food and shelter and mead. The next morning, he packed up and said, "I must go to the Greylands." That's where he's been ever since, I assume.
What is the Greylands?
The land between the forest and the manor home.
Yes, yes, he had said some odd things to us also.
Is that where all them pools are that...
The lakes, yes.
The lakes that were just...
Quarried.
Yeah.
Yes.
Otrig told me an interesting story. I had never entreated with I've entreated with many Dunmen over time, but never one of his stripe.
What do you mean?
He said he comes from a long line of druids. He showed me this bronze. He said he's a Torqued Lord. Whatever that may mean.
Does it make any folklore? Any ideas what that means?
You may make a challenging folklore test.
Okay. Challenging folklore. Alright. 40. Yeah, that's an 89. I'm going to go ahead and just say no. It did not work.
No reroll?
Yeah, I'm good.
Unfamiliar.
Never heard the term.
He told me stories about people in the north.
Close the door, please.
He told me stories about his people. He spoke quite extensively of the animals he had raised. And as the stories went on and the mead, he continued to drink mead, the truth continued to spill out. Well, I think it's the truth. But he spoke that he considers no man his friend, that he has spent 2 decades among the animals, and that he has learned their tongue, that he's learned to speak with them.
Did he speak with the dog while he was there?
No. At this point,
I wasn't trying to make jest.
No, of course. No, sir. It's funny you should say that, because Otrig was deep in his cups at that point, and I thought that he was simply...
Talking in his cups?
Certainly. But that morning, before he left, not far from where we're standing now, there was a collection of animals, a great number of which I'd never see the likes of seen of. I'd happened upon him in the middle of the morning, readying to prepare for as the sun came up. He was humming toward the nests. He was chirping toward the birds. He was chittering toward the squirrels.
That's one of the most queer things I've ever heard in my life. But I believe you if you say it is true.
Admittedly, I have seen many men in my time who swear they could speak in tongues. Such people oftentimes go on to be demagogues and lead large churches and have the following of many aristocrats who will bend their ear and empty their purses into their coffers to make them very rich. But this man was not speaking any tongue I understood, and the animals that were gathered were unusual. Very unusual. He shook my hand. I left him with enough food to eat, and he said he was off to the Greylands. I have not seen him since.
That's what he told you he was going.
He said he was going to a white cave or something to that nature. I did not know what he meant at the time, but perhaps we will cross paths with him again.
Where the lady
perhaps not.
Rolls in a chair.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
Well, you broke your bread with him. And so did you. I don't think you'll have much light for me. The man was running on all fours before he got to us.
He did mention something about some misunderstanding with Lord Wesley and his people.
That is no misunderstanding. The man was running like a beast.
Well, you spend your life in the woods that long away from human contact, I'm sure you'd
like
go
a
little bit batty as well.
He looked like a beast.
Yeah, you know, when I was a child, and you remember when you was a child, did you ever try and run on all fours?
Oh, yeah.
how good was you at it?
Not very good.
No, you can't do it. You can't. And you says he was in the forest where everything's all rough and prickly.
Yep.
Tuck, you know how keen my eyes are.
Well, they're better than mine.
An exploration, certainly, for another conversation. But I must attend back to my duties.
Well, thank you for your time, your mead, and your lesson.
Certainly.
And for the mead.
I said that.
Yeah.
And for the mead.
Say it again.
I
thrice
second
blessed.
That motion.
Indeed. Thrice bless. Meet you the gods.
If there's anything else that I can help with,
no.
Please don't hesitate to come and ask.
I will.
Perhaps at some point.
Is today Sunday?
It is not now.
Okay, that's tomorrow then?
Yes.
Okay. Perhaps we should be back on tomorrow. Sunday.
Is the day of rest.
Do they hold mass out of character?
No.
No, okay, so there's no gathering. Okay. Well, then may you enjoy your day of rest tomorrow.
As well. May the learner provide clarity, Master Marius.
I appreciate that. May I ask one thing of you? It is not something simple. If you are asked by others, can you please extend the words that our Lord is here to help?
And
we are too. We just really want to find out what is truly going on here. Whether it's as Dinesh thinks that, you know, Hugo is mistrustful, or you think there's a spiritual malevolence that's cast upon my lord's household. Where are we at here? His aunt is very old, and very sick. We've seen her. We need to know what to do if he takes this inheritance. You know, he needs to know.
He nods. I have no doubt that you are truth seekers at heart, and that the learner's light shines upon you. I think as long as you urge caution with these people, that you will earn their trust. The trust here is not given so easily. Hmm. The people of Dunhollow have lived in isolation for generations. They have grown accustomed to their own. Hmm. They have grown accustomed to the many stories and rumors of the Winterborn family. To them, Winterborn Estate is just as far away as Old Lork. They take care of themselves, they're hardworking, they're earnest. But they're not very trusting. You can earn that trust, but honor their ways.
We will give it time, and we will do such.
How do I do that?
Look inside, Mr. Marius. Remember your times at chapel when you were young. If not, come here, and I will share in my sermon with you.
I will do this, my brother.
When you get in the next sermon?
Evening is Sunday.
Sunday evening? We will try to make it then.
Certainly. Good morrow to you.
Good morrow.
You find that it is almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon by the time you've wrapped up the conversation. The dog must be in the monastery. What's happened to Brother Aaron or where he's at is still a mystery.
At some point, I think we should just get a look at the dog.
In good times.
Yeah, this was not a good day for it.
Why not?
I think we should
see. We're right here. Let's take a gander.
Seek out this Brother Aaron is what we should do.
We will definitely keep him as a person of interest, but I think, well, see if the greengrocer has a ladder, so that way we could perhaps take a bit more look at the ruins, or the manor house, see if we can potentially get to that tower in the west, and see if we can, well, uncover any more. Well, you can spend time in the library, and we can see if we can uncover anything of use.
That is, if the Lord and his lady give you permission.
I do not believe they will keep us, and we have plenty now of oil to light our way.
Well, if we get to the point to where the feathers isn't ruffled as much anymore, pat them down a little bit, and then we can wander on our own, you know. Me doing a bit of wandering and someone else to make sure I was alright.
Well, whatever you say, buddy. I don't know, though. Those two, they were trying to keep us out of there with all the fervor and energy of a man who's bathing with his wife in a creek, and a couple of fellers come walking up, and he's holding up the towel.
That's right. And so
they've got something to hide.
They do.
I mean, clearly, but and even more so to the point, that could be spoken generally, but there's something in that tower that the Lord Downing doesn't want us to see.
Yeah, because that's what old Cole said. So, you know, perhaps then, if we knows that they's going to be busy, like he's going to be in the library with Hugo, and perhaps you can keep Maud busy, then...
That, or perhaps Lady Krista, if she's able to perhaps care for or examine.
Then maybe you and I can take a little trek.
So do you wish to return to Winterborn Manor?
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think there was anyone else on the list that we have not already talked to, essentially, before. So we've talked to Jory, we haven't really talked to Sir Jameson, St. James, but he doesn't seem to quite like us very well. So
he's part of the discontent project.
So back to Winterborn Manor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Do we need a ladder? We got rope.
You would be surprised. You cannot assail those walls with a simple ladder. Nor grapple in the hook. Those walls are unassailable. You cannot even get to the walls unless you're across the drawbridge.
Well, that's what I mean. We're going to be able to go through a drawbridge. And
There's no courtyard. We should not bring a ladder.
Okay.
That would be the worst thing to do.
I thought ice would be the worst thing.
Well, a ladder over ice would be the worst thing, yes.
Okay.
Ladders and ice aside.
Okay.
It's pretty conspicuous, isn't it?
Indeed.
It is conspicuous to be bringing a ladder. So.
Or a big length of rope.
I've got me ideas. You just have to trust me on this.
I'll let you do yours.
We'll come back. It'll be alright. At least he'll come back.
Hmm. Well, you should definitely make sure you come back too.
Oh, yeah, but you know what they said. It's a crumbling and all.
Light on your feet.
So it is 10:30, and we will mark this the end of our session. Everybody gets 100 reward points.
Sweet.
We need to make sure to remind Walter of that
and
as well.
And corruption roll.
Oh yeah.
That's
I'm up in order.
You gained a fate point.
I did.
Nice.
I'm at 9.
So once you reach 10, erase all your ranks and award yourself 1 fate point. Okay, if I roll this number is equal to or less than the corruption you have, you gain a chaos rank. Tonight's chaos roll, corruption roll is 9.
Oh. It could have been me last week. Ooh. I had 2 corruption and then he rolled a 2.
Remember, equal to or less than is a chaos rank.
Yeah. Believe me, I know. I rolled.
I think everybody got a chaos rank tonight.
No, everybody got
Remember, 9.
Because if I got 0...
Equal to or more than is what you're thinking.
9 is...
Equal to or less than the number rolled.
All right, look it up, man.
So, if the number rolled is equal to or less than corruption gained, increase chaos rank 1 step.
Right, so you'd have to get a 9 or 10 in order to
get
chaos rank.
That's right.
So, I got
Maybe
an order
6.
Rank.
I got an order
six.
Rank.
Nice.
Yeah, last week we had a 2.
That's right.
That's when. When
low is bad, high
that's
is
when
bad.
Half the table got...
Yeah.
Chaos.
All right.
So I hit my order rank.
Okay. Well, you got 9.
Except you need 1 more.
Okay.
Once you hit 10, you will erase all of them and gain 1 fate point.
Nice.
Yeah.
Order and chaos. Unless you get to chaos first. 10 chaos first.
Yeah, for some reason you go from 9 to 10. You know, it happens.
I've seen it.
It certainly happened.
Yeah. I'm not saying someone...
All right, so we're going to wrap up. Once again, for our listeners, please back the Mangosh Kickstarter.
Yay.
We want to hit those pledge goals. We're at 51,000 right now, I believe. If we hit 75, we can do the special edition. So don't sleep on it. 13 days left. We will see you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.
Take care. Thanks for listening and watching.